I'm Brian.
And I'm Reggie.
And this is R&B Talks.
Disgruntled.
Don't be disgruntled, Reggie.
Disgruntled.
Don't be disgruntled.
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 I'm so mad, dude.
Why? Don't be. Don't be mad.
It's the day, though, I've had the dropsies, right? Like, everything... Like, I keep... Things just keep falling out of my fingers. Today.
Well, you know. We'll have those days.
And I'm just... It's just so annoying. And I keep doing that. And doing... It's just a mess. Dude. Nothing has worked today, dude.
All right, brother.
Nothing.
This is going to work. This is R&B Talks, man. It always works.
Yeah, always.
Except for the fact that this is a reshoot from the first time it didn't work.
Because I had to record the screen doing these things, and it was the wrong proportion.
The wrong ratio.
So here we are.
Well, in case you haven't noticed, we'll be doing some reaction videos today.
It's not really, I don't know if it's about reactions, really. Maybe it is, I guess, but.
Well, we will be reacting.
So instead of doing this chopped up into little segments, we're going to do these kind of all, well, there's going to be, we're going to split this in two episodes.
Yes.
So we'll have like, I don't know. 12, 14 videos, right?
Yeah. Some
short videos I found on Instagram that we're going to watch and read and just talk about in some way or another. And we'll split this over two episodes. So this is like part one and we'll have part two.
Part uno.
Because when we did this the first time, it was like a full 2 hours of, yeah. And we didn't even make it through all the ones I had. So
yeah.
Let's just do this in a couple different ones. And
okay.
You know,
it's exciting.
As you can tell,
Reggie's excited.
He's excited. He's excited. I am so excited.
I don't believe you. You're not convincing.
I know. I'm totally not convincing.
So you want to just jump into the first video here?
Yeah, let's just do it, dude.
Let's just do it. Let's rock and roll.
So this is an interesting one that I have some commentary for.
Okay. Right on.
And I'm sure you will too.
If you don't believe in heaven and hell and all that, why don't you just go around raping and murdering as much as you want?
Okay, hold on. So first point. If you don't believe in heaven or hell, why aren't you going around raping and murdering? Okay, so there's a... there is a... general civility that we've developed over the course of human existence as to what is generally thought of in civilization as right and wrong. So kind of asking that question is kind of stupid.
Well, but I think it's presenting a question that we've heard a few times before, maybe verbalized a little differently. You know, a lot of people go, well, if you don't believe in God, why don't you just go around and do whatever you want? Well, no, that's not a good idea. Because we're a civilization, and we have laws and rules and etiquette that we abide by.
And he says, and he said, "I do."
Okay,
let's keep going here. But he said, "I do."
What?
I do go around raping and murdering as much as I want, which is not at all, because he's got a conscience.
But if death is just the end, what's the point?
What's the point in what?
Living. Might as well just kill yourself.
Okay. Let me say this. This is the wrong questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Because every intelligent being that I know of would answer the same way. Like, you know, what the question is he said, I do go around raping and murdering as much as I want. I don't want to do that at all. So the question then becomes, why don't you want to do that at all? Like, where does your center of what's right and wrong come from? That's the question to ask.
Good point.
Where do you get your right and wrong? And if it's like, well, that's what civilization tells me to.
Why the question for me would be then, why why don't you? It would just be simply, why don't you? If why do you choose not to?
Well, yeah, but the core of it is the laws we have in civilization, and especially in Western civilization now, come from a religious background. They're all from a religious standpoint. If you go back far enough, I mean, it was because, look, if you can't leave it up to society to judge what is right and wrong. There has to be absolutes of what's right and wrong. If you leave it up to society, you end up with tribes in Africa who murder kids and mutilate them. You end up with like World War II Germany. You end up with places like in the Stalin USSR. You end up with like the places that are really terrible and tyrannical. That's what you end up with when you leave it up to society. You
wind up with North Korea.
I mean, that I'm just saying, not in all cases, but I'm saying in general, if you leave it up to a group of people to decide based on human characteristics and stuff, there will be faults in there, and there would be things that you would consider wrong and right in there. C.S. Lewis was a master at the moral argument for God. And the way that's who I would point anybody who has a question about the root of morality. I would say you got to pick up some C.S. Lewis and read it, because that was his whole, well, not this whole argument, but I'm saying he was very, very, very good at explaining the moral argument for God. So I just bring this video up because it's just this is a very simpleton way to approach the idea of morality, and that. God, it's just the wrong sort of question. It is dumbed down in this movie clip on purpose.
Mm. Okay, let's watch the rest of this clip.
Yep.
So if you're watching a movie and you're really enjoying it,
yeah,
and someone points out that this will end eventually, do you just go, oh, forget it then, what's the point, and just turn it off?
No, because I can watch it again.
Well, I think life is precious because you can't watch it again. I mean, you can believe in an afterlife if that makes you feel better. Doesn't mean it's true. But once you realise you're not going to be around forever, I think that's what makes life so magical. One day you'll eat your last meal, smell your last flower, hug your friend for the very last time. You might not know it's the last time, so that's why you should do everything you love with passion, you know? Treasure the few years you've got, because that's all there is.
Okay, so, you know, yeah, you'd only got so long. But you don't have to have so long on this earth. What I'm saying is, like, if the possibility is that you entertain the idea that, okay, what you live on earth is all you got. You're done. There's no more existence after that. You are completely annihilated when you die.
Okay.
Okay. So everything that you've built will eventually brought, go away. There is nothing, no matter the statues, no matter historical figure, no matter the tasks you do, no matter how good in sports you are, all of that will eventually be gone. There is nothing you create or you do that will exist forever in this existence. Nothing. So if you think, I mean, your life is precious, but at the end of the day, in what a lot of philosophers that guys like that espouse to tell you that life is meaningless because of that. So if there is, so the meaning of life is really brought into this whole thing of, oh, it's precious, like a movie. Do you? Well, okay. The thing is, it's not. And the thing is there's definitely a way that you can live and be productive and fulfilled forever by following a certain set of principles, which you already do, and for the most part.
Agreed.
So I bring this up because it's just, I hear this a lot from atheistic people. And it's like, it's a short-sighted view of your existence. If your existence is only about what your lifespan on earth, then it's kind of short-sighted. Mm. And you're missing the point where, you know, eventually the whole universe dies in heat death. Everything's gone. Where are you then? Nowhere. Where's everything you've done? Nowhere. Where's everything that human civilization over the course of the whole span of its existence? Where is it? It's gone. Meaningless. Anyway, that's a short summation of a argument for intelligent design and the existence of God, I guess. But
all right.
Your input was duly noted.
Yeah, I didn't have much on that one. You were doing your thing, man. I wasn't going to interfere. Rock and roll.
Hey, old man. How's that barbecue? Give me some.
We're busy. Boy, get lost, all right?
What did you say?
Here's a perfect example of what I've been talking about. Since this boy was suckling on his mama's tit, he's been given everything but discipline. And now his idea of courage and manhood is to get together with a bunch of punk friends and ride around irritating folks too good-natured to put a stop to it.
Who do you think you are, huh?
Just a dumb kid, huh? Don't kill him.
Yeah, you see here what's going to happen, but...
Yeah.
Look, sometimes a bully needs to meet another bully of sorts.
Bully's biggest fear is being bullied.
Yeah. And... The more you, I mean, look, there's a lot of times where it's just better if you walk away. And sometimes it's better if you walk away because you know you're going to hurt them.
Yeah.
And I've been there many, many times. Like, I'm like, okay, I need to remove myself from this situation before I really hurt somebody.
My problem is I usually don't remove myself from the situation.
Well.
But you're right. Sometimes some people only learn one way.
Yeah. And look,
and it's unfortunate.
This is where the role of the father really, really comes in handy. If this guy right here, that's being a punk, if he would have had a dad who cared enough for him to actually introduce and teach him some discipline and like the characteristics of what a man really is, wouldn't be doing any of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So this
what
is
what people don't realize is if men were trained properly, there would be very little fighting in war.
You wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Hug McCann. I fought two world wars and countless smaller ones on three continents. I led thousands of men into battle with everything with horses and swords to artillery and tanks. I've seen the headwaters of the Nile and tribes of natives no white man had ever seen before. I've won and lost a dozen fortunes, killed many men, and loved only one woman. With a passion, a flea like you could never begin to understand. That's who I am.
Yeah. Now, here's another point to this. You really, I mean, like, if you're an idiot like this, you're obviously not going to know. But, like, there's a lot of some old dudes out there who either, A, don't care, or, B, they've been through some stuff that you never understand. You don't want to – they may look unassuming – don't assume that they're not going to stand up and just whoop your ass.
Yeah. It'll happen.
You know, I mean, even my grandfather, before he got really sick, you would think he couldn't do, but I'm telling you, man, I've seen him wheel around on and torque on some things and lift up some ungodly stuff and everything. And, you know, I didn't want to tangle with my grand. No,
dude. The most dangerous guy in the room is not the loudest. It is the quietest.
Oh, usually that case, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I just was amused by this.
Very, very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Here's a comedy bit to liven up the...
Let's have some laughy laughs.
I believe teenagers are God's revenge on mankind. I really do. I think one day the good Lord was looking down over his creation and said, let's see how they like it to create someone of their own image who denies their existence. Because I have read the Bible more than once, cover to cover, and it never mentions how old the devil was when he rejected God's authority. If I'm guessing an age, I'm saying 16. Devil got his driver's license, drove to Georgia. That's all I know.
Yeah, pretty funny.
Nice.
Let's see here.
Oh, my boy, my preacher over there.
Well, it's not Bodie, but
I know.
When Barack became president, he tried to force Africa to accept same-sex marriage. And African government said, we don't allow that stuff yet. And Barack sanctioned Africa trying to force Africa, different countries of Africa, to accept same-sex marriages. And if those countries don't, he will sanction them, starve them. How in the world men knocking up men mean so much to America that you will use your power to starve a baby, starve a woman? Because a country want to uphold God's law.
Yeah, so I think this is the way that there's been some administrations have wielded their power for these agendas that are not, I mean, you know, there's a lot like he's talking about in most Africa, right? This is not part of their, this is not important. They don't have this thing, but we do.
Mm-mm. They don't care.
Yeah. I mean, and it's none of our business. We're not the world police, but yet that did go on.
Yeah.
You know, and yet
it's going on right now.
Well, yeah,
Biden is using unfettered force and unfettered tactics to get his way.
Yeah.
And is unapologetic about it.
And that's what I mean. That's ridiculous. But I mean, obviously, that's not our fight.
Well,
that's not our thing.
What's bizarre to me is that Biden was on the phone with Xi Jinping today. Or yesterday, maybe it was yesterday. And they got off the phone and all of a sudden China moved warships and troops around Taiwan. What do you think that conversation was about?
I know. How? Ugh. You know, this is what I mean by it's not them I'm mad at. It's the people who just blindly just.
Yeah. That just let it go.
Yeah. He means well. He's focused and sharp.
Sheeple.
I don't know. It's just crazy. But anyway, his passion here was pretty phenomenal, yeah. And I loved it. Thought it was cool. All right, see what this
My name is Pastor L. I use pronouns like she or they. I'm a campus minister in Chicago for a joint Lutheran Episcopal campus ministry downtown on the Loop, where I also pastor to a group of unhoused folks. Before we get started, I wanted to just name something, too, from the reading from Corinthians. You might have noticed that we didn't read one part out loud, and that's because it's yikes. So,
All right.
Yeah, you don't want me to get into this one.
I do, though.
All right, dude. First and foremost, nobody cares about your pronouns. Nobody calls you by pronouns. Number two, you deleted something from the Bible because it was yikes, which takes away all your authority, all your power, all your input as a minister, period, which you obviously shouldn't be one because you don't believe what the Bible says because you're up there talking opposite of it whilst talking for it. Yeah.
Okay. Let me play. See the our screen keeps blipping out, which that's I apologize. Okay. So here it's gonna do this little thing here. And hello, there we go.
In that reading, in original context, Paul himself was a Jewish man, right? And so there were sort of inter-Jewish conversations and disagreements about the role of Jesus and what that means. But really, in this letter to the Corinthians, Paul's being kind of a jerk, both about Jewish people and about the Greek.
Okay, so here's the thing about Corinthians. He's not being a jerk. He's actually calling out the church to like become more and like putting him in line with what really Christ's teaching was all about.
Yes.
So she's completely heretical in pretty much everything she said so far.
Yeah.
And this is running rampant in our Western culture. And it seems to be growing, which I have a great disdain for. I would say
I have a great deal of concern about it.
Well, I do too, but at the same token, that there's a lot of really good gospel centered churches and people out there. I mean, yes, so but
there is.
Now we're fortunate in our area to have quite a few.
Yes,
but I think there's in some parts of the country there's not, especially on the coasts, right?
Yes,
And that's where you see these kind of progressive things flourishing. And I think it really comes down to, they're like, well, we can't get anybody in the pulpit. We can't get anybody to come to our church. So what if we just, you know, we'll just discard this verse. We'll just discard this. This is an interpretation.
Yeah. We'll interpret God's word. Yeah, no.
Everybody interprets God's word.
Well, there's a difference between interpreting it and misinterpreting it. And their interpretation is a misinterpretation.
Well, even her context is wrong.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, she's trying to contextually argue this whole thing by leaving this out, but it's wrong. There's no biblical scholarship out there that says this crap, you know? And so wherever she learned this from, I have no idea. And I know there's like some places that espouse these things, but, yeah, there's a question that comes up to, like, not only is she unqualified to be in leadership, but also I question her salvation and knowing who the real Christ is, all just because of this. I mean, it's illuminating as to what this does.
Yeah.
Greeks. And even more important than his original intent is the way that verses like that have been used throughout the ages to harm our Jewish siblings. And so we wanted to just sort of name that right out, even before we got started with anything else, and to kind of put that before us as something, particularly those of us gathered here who are Christians, the way that we can look at the way our traditions, the way that our scriptures have been used to harm our siblings, and to be accountable for that.
We genuinely have never needed a letter to the American church more than we do right now. Paul is being kind of a jerk. What?
So here's the other thing about this. Okay. Where is the men in her life?
They don't exist.
Again, we point back to this all the time on purpose. The father, the head of the household, is so critical to establish not only right and, you know, discipline and spiritual leadership. I mean, it's also to encourage and motivate, right? So here we have an example of a really poorly led woman who really needs some, she really needs some Jesus.
She needs some, she needs a bucket full.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's crazy. Here we go. Or not.
Hey, bruh. What you got? I'm done pretending like what they did to me never happened. They damaged me. And they get to live how they want while I suffer in silence.
Okay. I think we both can say that's... I think there's no one that can't recognize with that.
Yes.
You know, you've gone through something. You've been through something. How can they get away with all this stuff and everything else? I mean, that's a definite thing that, man, we've all been there, and some of us probably are still there. So let's see what happens.
Yep.
Matthew 13:15 say, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." If the people that hurt you are not living for Jesus, then they will not hear you the way you want them to.
Okay, so this is a real important point. When you get people who absolutely have no idea about the gospel, or at least don't know it very well at all, have not really taken the step to follow Christ or whatsoever, we can't expect them to actually really know the truth. No right or wrong. Really, it's a false expectation that we put on people in that scenario.
Yes.
So, agreed. You know, and what he quotes that Matthew verse, look, it's what he says. Look, he's here to heal you. He's there with you. It's not like you're left alone to suffer and all this kind of stuff, but he's there.
Yeah.
I mean, don't forget, he was the one who hung on a cross. He's the one, you know.
And let's not forget that forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. You can forgive somebody. That doesn't mean that they're going to recognize what they did or what they did wrong, right?
Correct.
So.
They don't have ears to hear. Now, if they listen and they apologize, Don't rely on their apology to fix your brokenness, because only Jesus can do that.
Yes.
But either way, pray for them. What does Matthew 5:44 say? But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You stop reliving it when you choose to accept it. The problem is we think about the trauma, then we think about the damage, and we can't find a way to accept nor forgive what happened. But how often do we think about Jesus seeing us there, broken, lost, angry, and he rescued us in spite of it all? What does 1 Corinthians 15:57 say? But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy didn't win. You're already free, you just don't recognize it because you never had it. But until you learn to operate in the freedom given to you through Jesus, you will continue to relive the bondage of the life he freed you from.
So this is important, right? Because, I mean, if you accept to follow Christ's teaching and you're like, yes, that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, you live in that mindset. If you live in defeat, you're not. If you live in shame and guilt, you're not. He's already done that for you. He's already won those.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're not going to face things. You're not going to go through things, but he's already taken that away. Give him your burdens. That's what it says. Rest in him.
You know who else would like to carry your burdens? Edwards Managed Technology Computer Consulting, our wonderful sponsor.
Our computer burdens?
Yeah, all of them.
Take it away, Edwards!
All right, what's next?
Off to the next one.
Me, do not be fooled or misled, because I just asked ChatGPT this one question.
I asked AI to search the entire internet to answer this one question. Here's what I asked it. Throughout history, which person or god has ever claimed to be the truth? Here's what it said. Gautama Buddha claimed to use truth as a path or gateway to having the greatest life here on earth. Various prophets claimed to bring truth from a divine source. Philosophers like Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle sought to understand and explain truth. Modern spiritual leaders claim to have direct access to higher truths and knowledge about the universe. But only one person in all of history ever claimed to be truth. That was Jesus Christ. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the converging point between life and death. He is the truth the world hates. If you deny truth, you deny Christ. If you love truth, you will love him.
Okay, dude, so...
bingo.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you... Okay, I've never asked ChatGPT that question, so I don't know how legit that is or not, but because I know that there's a lot of things that if you ask it in that standpoint, it kind of gets a little weird.
Yeah.
it would be hard for me to understand if it did say that, but the message, though, is clear, and I think it's really profound and that it really sells it in that whole thing.
Yes.
Jesus is the only figure that said he is the truth.
Very true.
And he's a unique in the whole, no matter what religion you look at, he's a unique figure that, you know, there's not a body for anywhere.
Okay.
There's Joseph Smith. He's buried.
Yeah.
Buddha's buried.
Yeah.
Confucius, he's buried.
He broke the veil.
You know? So.
Right? Like, once you break the veil, man. What are you going to say?
And the thing is, too, people argue, this is why there's a lot of proof for the resurrection, not just biblical stuff. There is a lot of proof, volumes upon volumes of it, okay? Yes. And so you have all these resurrection theories that try to explain the events that took place after he came out of the tomb and was, like, witnessed. So you have all these different theories that have come up over the years. And it's all kinds of things, but they're ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hallucinations, swooning, all this stuff. But they're all easily disproven with just logic. It doesn't even, it's just silly. So, the reason why those theories exist is because there's so much proof for the resurrection. There's somebody trying to explain it without saying it's legit, you know?
Yeah.
It's silly. But anyway, but so yeah, it's funny. He is the way, the truth of life. That's there's no doubt about it.
Raised $25 million in one day. At an event where a picture with Biden cost $100,000. $500K for a VIP ticket to watch Biden team up with Lizzo and her fat flute. And the Biden campaign and the propaganda news outlets want you to know it was a star-studded event. Social validation. Superstars like Mindy Kaling.
Wrong.
Queen Latifah.
Wrong.
Lizzo.
Wrong.
Ben Platt.
Wrong.
And the dancing syringe, Stephen Colbert.
Wrong.
$25 million in one day, and that's a lot of money. Almost comparable to Hunter Biden selling his paintings for $500K apiece. Totally worth the price of admission. The reality is, the Biden administration is out of touch. They say they're for the people, for the working class, but they're clearly the party of the elite. President Trump is doing free rallies all over the country. Biden charges up to $500K. My picture with President Trump was free. Biden charges $100,000. President Trump's campaign is supported by the sweat and tears of the American people that want to win the country back. Biden is funded by a handful of elite donors who want to retain control and their own plush way of life. The media will make it sound like Biden raising ungodly money is a good thing. To me, it just shows who he's beholden to. Trump owes it back to the people. Biden owes his favors back to the elite. Star-studded crowd, get out of here.
When we poke ya, well, we know you're gonna be. You're gonna be safe from COVID infecting you. When you go out.
Yeah, don't care.
Yeah.
Look, this is very illuminating as to who actually pulls the strings on our current administration.
Very true.
I mean, come on, people. This is not hard to figure out. It really isn't. You can't tell me. You just can't. He's not. He's not all there. That's blatantly obvious. You're just hiding that from people if you say not. Obviously, he's getting told what to do, where to go, what to say, and he messes that up even as it is.
He's an ultimate screw up.
Yeah. I'm not like the hugest Trump fan or anything, but yeah, I mean, there's a night and day difference between a Trump fund or a Trump like rally versus a Biden fundraiser. It's hugely different. But I mean, Trump is a billionaire. I mean, it's not like he, you know, it is a different level.
Here's my question. If he's for the people, where were the people?
Where were the people?
Where were they? They were not right. I'm not writing a $100,000 check for a picture with a crotchety old man who can't remember anything.
Look, and look, I do really well for myself, dude. And there's no way I could afford anything like that.
Nope.
There's no way.
It isn't even about affording it, man. Even if I could afford it, I wouldn't do it.
Well, no, I know, but I'm just saying, like, if I was like a Biden supporter, I did really well for myself, which, like, if I was in the current financial state I am, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like middle class America, you know? Yeah. So what's that say? Okay. So we'll do one more and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
For this episode.
It is on our responsibility to reflect and to overcome our negative feelings about pedophiles.
And that's how it starts every time, right? They roll out some expert that tells us, hey, you know that thing that everybody considered to be morally reprehensible and abusive? Yeah, well, you just need to change your perspective and be more tolerant. Then they roll out a different expert that says, well, actually, this sort of thing has been practiced by different cultures around the world for centuries, and maybe you just need to change your own biases. Then, of course, there's a child psychologist that will tell us, hey, we've conducted a study, and that study has demonstrated that these sorts of relationships can be mutually beneficial. Then before you know it, it's just another letter in the acronym, another symbol on the flag, and another float in the parade. Except for this time, I would advise you to be careful, because there's a lot of moms and dads out there where if you touch our child, we really don't care what expert, politician, law, or study you present. Things are going to happen that are going to make you wish that the police got there first.
Amen.
Amen. Faux show.
Look, here's the thing. What these people don't realize is that probably the vast majority of the middle of the country are adamantly against all this stuff.
Yeah.
Not only that, but they're willing to actually fight for it.
Yeah.
So if they keep going and they keep trying, they're going to wind up with a situation where they're not going to like the outcome.
Yeah.
We've already seen incidents of that too. You know, there was a Texas rancher who walked into this one farmhand that was abusing his daughter and he beat him to death.
Rightfully so.
No charges filed.
Rightfully so.
And there would be. You're talking of you know, I would say this is the reason why I say your community is far more important than your what the federal government does and everything else. If you don't allow that around you in your community or whatever, and you stand up for what is right, it's there's really not much that's gonna you're gonna be fine.
Yeah.
Hold your ground. Stand up.
Defend and defend rightfully.
Yeah.
So
I don't mean you don't have to be violent necessarily all the time, but I'm just saying, look, it's like if you have a school board member who keeps wanting to introduce some kind of thing, vote them out.
Yeah.
You have a sheriff that won't uphold the law here or there or is upholding the law that shouldn't be or something, vote them out.
Yeah. Show up.
That's really the case here. I mean, that's the simplest way to do it. So, yeah. Uh-huh. All right, that's part one. Uh-huh. We'll get to part two shortly. Uh-huh. Where R&B talks.
See ya.
See ya.